moving in or out?
In. Rather, Katrina's moving in.
Oh, did the two of you have a little domestic argument?
Well, as a matter of fact, not at all. Oh. Katrina is going to do her tutoring out of the spare room next to Mr. Whitaker's office.
I thought she was doing that in your basement.
Well, she was, until we decided to renovate. The work will take most of the summer, so Mr. Whitaker graciously allowed her to relocate here. Pardon me whilst I retrieve more boxes from the car.
Sure, but what'd I miss yesterday?
Well, apart from the plane crash and the backpack filled with counterfeit money, nothing much.
Okay. What? What did you say, Eugene?
Good morning, Connie.
Oh, hi, Katrina. A plane crash and counterfeit money?
That's right, and Whit had to go to the hospital to see his grandson.
Monty? What's he doing in the hospital? What did Eugene mean about a plane crash and counterfeit money? Katrina?
Monty was in the plane crash and is somehow connected to the counterfeit money. But he left the hospital and nobody knows where he is. And Whit asked us to pray.
What? Okay, somebody has to stop and just tell me what's going on. Hello?
You may have a few job applicants today. Whit put a sign on the front door.
Job applicants? At Whit's End? Why?
Because of your art class.
My art class? Is Whit firing me for taking an art class?
No, but we're going to need help since you'll be away most of the afternoons. And please shout for me if Detective Polhouse comes by to ask any more questions. Will you do that for me, Connie?
Detective who? Well, somebody please stop and tell me what's going on!
Make us some tea and we'll explain everything.
Thank you. Why does everything happen when I'm gone? So where's Whit now?
Good morning, Monty.
Good morning, Grandpa. Oh, what happened? What time is it?
8. I thought I'd bring you some breakfast.
Thanks. Did you happen to get the license number of that truck that hit me?
No, it wasn't a truck. It was Gower's Field. How's your head?
A dull ache. Oh, now I remember. I came here from the hospital. No easy trick. Sorry about the window.
I'm not worried about the window, but when I saw you lying on the floor...
I passed out.
Dr. Graham said you're weak. You need rest.
You brought a doctor here?
Well, it was either that or take you back to the hospital, which I assumed you didn't want. She put herself on the line for you. Technically speaking, you are a wanted man.
Is the house being watched?
I haven't seen any unusual cars or strangers about.
You have to tell me everything, Grandpa. How did you get pulled into this?
You said my name before you passed out. Now, what's going on, Monty? You have to tell me. Your mother is
Mom? Mom knows about this?
Of course. I called her right away.
She's not coming here, is she?
Well, considering how bizarre this situation is, I suggested that she wait.
Mom, wait? How'd you pull that off?
Well, I told her that you were out of the hospital, which is true, and that you were resting, which is also true, and that you'd call her as soon as you can, which you better make sure is true.
Thanks. It would have been a disaster if she showed up.
Monty, she thinks you're a food inspector for a company in Des Moines. She can't imagine why you were in Odyssey without telling any of us.
I have a lot to explain, I know. But first, what happened to the other two men on the plane?
Well, the pilot was airlifted to Connellsville.
Well, that's good. He doesn't know anything. What about Dirk Beggs?
Well, he's in the hospital, in a coma.
Under guard?
Yes.
Oh, that could help me. Unless he talked to someone. Has he?
He ran from the crash to Hagler's junkyard. Dirk knows the Hagler family somehow. I'm fuzzy on that part. Detective Polhouse could answer that question.
Polhouse? I don't know him, but I may have to take a chance.
A chance? Why don't you talk to your own people? Agent Tanner
was here. How did she find out where I was?
Well, the little chip in your arm. The doctor saw it, called it in. Why are you hiding from Agent Tanner? Aren't you on the same side?
I thought so, but now I'm not so sure.
Well, neither is she. She thinks you're working with a bunch of counterfeiters. Are you?
No, but someone on our team is. And whoever it is betrayed me and nearly got me killed on that plane.
Detective Polhouse.
Good morning, Agent Tanner. Did you and the rest of your team get settled in at the hotel?
There is no team. It's just me for now. Any luck with Whitaker and his grandson?
Not yet.
What's the latest on the backpack?
Final count. There were 5,000 $20 bills.
Oh.
$100,000. All counterfeit. As you saw yesterday, the fakes are all of the highest quality.
Anything else?
We found fingerprints on the pack. Dirk Beggs and Monty Whitaker.
No surprise.
Mm-hmm. There was one partial print on a corner of the plastic wrapping around the bills. But no identity. It doesn't match anyone in our system.
Hmm. What else?
A flight plan. A list of handwritten numbers. A novel. My guys are going over everything.
What about the area where the backpack was found?
I had an officer go out there with Emily Jones, the girl who found the backpack.
Mm-hmm.
It was right beneath the flight path of the plane before it crashed.
And?
Nothing. It looks like it was thrown out of the plane, just like Dirk Beggs said. So, Agent Tanner, What are our next steps to catch this green ring?
The counterfeit money is high quality, which means it's not a simple copy job.
Right.
An experienced engraver was involved. Do you have any engravers in the area?
My men are checking.
Then there's the quality of the paper itself.
It's a special blend called Fiber Touch 132. My first stop is a paper mill in Connellsville that makes it.
Then I'll stop talking and let you get on with it.
Oh, and where will you be?
I may drive to Connellsville to check on the pilot.
And what about Monty?
You and your officers know this area better than I do. I have every confidence you'll find him.
We'll do our best.
I expect nothing less.
Here you go, Buck, my boy. Let's hope you get that job at wit's end.
Thanks, Mr. Skin. I'm not too worried about it.
Well, I am. The clock is ticking, my boy. Tick-tock, tick-tock. We have to move quickly. Let me know when you've finished, and I'll pick you up right here. There aren't too many people on this side of the park. Low profile, lad. I have to keep a low profile.
Got it. I'll call you on the new phone.
We may have an errand later. I've been thinking, you see. I have an idea.
You always have ideas. What's this one about?
Wally Hagler. If Detective Polehouse is as suspicious of him as you say, then maybe we can nudge that along. Make a little delivery of incriminating evidence.
But won't Archie have a problem with us framing his brother?
Oh, there may be blood between them, my lad, but they aren't brothers, if you catch my meaning. Now, go on.
See ya.
Oh, look at you. It's like dropping you off for your first day at school.
Don't start getting all emotional on me now, will you?
Get rid of that toothpick and find that appleberry.
I'll call you.
Oh, boy.
Monty, you have to sit down and tell me what's going on.
No, I gotta get moving. I am losing time. Are these Uncle Jason's old clothes?
I don't think he'll mind if you wear them.
Well, thanks. I want to get the clothes I borrowed back to the poor man at the hospital.
I'll take care of it when the time is right. But right now, I'm harboring a fugitive.
Well, technically I'm not. I mean, right now they just want me for questioning.
What do you expect? Why did you break off contact with Agent Tanner in Chicago?
Because Dirk got paranoid. He started making plans about some kind of big deal and wouldn't let me out of his sight. I didn't dare make contact or to blow my cover. Then a few days ago, he suddenly announced that we were flying here, to Odyssey.
Of all places.
According to Dirk, these counterfeiters are probably the best in the country. They have lots of experience. Grandpa, they've been working out of this area for years.
I find that hard to believe. People I might know. But how could they operate for years without getting caught?
The best ones are very careful. They don't do anything that'd draw too much attention to themselves. They live modestly, and they're very patient. Have you ever heard of any counterfeit dollars in the area?
No, we had a situation a few years ago, but that didn't lead to anything.
Maybe it's connected, maybe not. Anyway, my errand with Dirk was to come to Odyssey and pick up samples of their counterfeiting work.
Where did you pick up the money?
A dock up at Trickle Lake. Hey, you think you can sneak me up there?
Well, I can certainly try, but I'm not happy about dodging the law. We have to turn you in.
Not until I can figure out who to trust. Give me some time, Grandpa.
Well, I hope the trunk is clean.
The trunk?
You didn't expect you'd ride up in front, did you?
Hello.
Oh, hi. How can I help you?
My name is Buck. I applied for a job yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Eugene mentioned you. Eugene!
Yes, Miss Kendall. Hello, young man.
Hi, Mr. Eugene.
No honorifics, please. Just call me Eugene. I'm glad you stopped by. I tried to call you, however I was...
I've been having a phone trouble. Oh. I got a new phone number now.
Ah, well, we'd like to interview you for the position.
We would.
Mr. Whitaker gave me instructions.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
My wife, Katrina, will conduct the interview.
She will?
Oh, indeed. She's a very good judge of character.
Apart from who to marry.
How droll.
Why do I feel like I still don't know what's going on around here? I'll call Whit.
He made it rather clear that he would phone us when he had news. I don't think you should bother him.
Ugh.
Is this a bad time?
Oh, no, not at all. Come with me upstairs. I suggest you get rid of the toothpick. It doesn't really make a great impression at a job interview.
Oh, sure.
You go off for one afternoon. Just one. Well, Buck, it's very nice to meet you.
It's very nice to meet you, Miss Katrina. This place looks like a classroom. Does Mr. Whitaker run a school here?
I'm going to tutor a few students here this summer. I've been looking over your application and... Well, I don't see that you filled out any information about your parents.
Oh, I don't have parents. I have a guardian, Mr. Skint. It's right there.
Jebediah Skint. And I see that you've lived in a lot of different places. Is Mr. Skint in the military?
No.
Oh, then why do you travel so much?
We don't like to stay in one place for very long. Life is too short, Mr. Skint likes to say. We want to see all we can while we can.
Then you're homeschooled?
More like on the road schooled.
I'm trying to work out what Mr. Skint does for a living. You wrote Mobile Entertainment Management.
Yeah, he's like a scout for circuses and carnivals. He goes in ahead and gets things organized.
Uncle Archie's carnival?
Yes, ma'am.
If you don't mind, I have an aptitude test I'd like you to take. Some of your responsibilities at Wit's End might involve cash transactions, inventory, and stock. If you pass that, then we can discuss the job details.
Terrific. I'm ready when you are.
Great.
Detective Paulhouse? I'm Andy Jackson, the manager.
How do you do?
How can I help you?
It's quite a mill you got here. It looks like you make a variety of paper.
Well, we pride ourselves in having whatever the customer needs.
How about FiberTouch 132?
We make that, though it's a special type, so it takes a little longer.
Anybody place any large orders over the past few months?
Yeah, we've had one.
I'll need the details. Office address, where you delivered the paper, the usual.
Oh, well, let me think. It was a publishing company in Odyssey called... Here it is. Green Ring Publishing.
Really? You're kidding.
Is that funny?
Not at all.
Oh, well, yet I remember this account. The buyer was an older fellow. Yeah, has long hair, a beard.
Name?
It should be on the file.
Uh-huh. John Smith. You don't think that's his real name, do you?
Not a clue. He paid in cash.
Is that normal?
For an order that size? No, but we don't question it.
Maybe you should. Do you regularly check your cash for counterfeits?
Well, no. Why?
Is this the address you delivered the stock of paper to?
Yeah, but don't bother going there.
Why not?
Well, we sent a salesman out to do a follow-up call, and the place was empty.
Uh-huh.
The owner of the building said they'd pulled out a week or two before.
Uh-huh. Forwarding address?
Nope.
Anything else you can tell me about the man? Think hard. No detail is unimportant, no matter how big or small.
Yeah, well, it was all very straightforward, or so I thought. Wait, there was one other thing. He left the receipt on the counter, so I ran out to catch them before they left. He was in a pickup truck. There was this kid with him, a good-looking boy, maybe 14 or 15.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed a sticker on the windshield on the driver's side.
An inspection sticker?
No. It was like a season parking sticker or something like that for Trickle Lake.
Thanks. I'll check it out.
Hey, Detective, should I be worried about that cash?
Have a nice day.
So, what are we doing at Trickle Lake?
Let's look around Doc C.
Well, what are we looking for? I still don't know why we're here.
Because this is where we met our contact.
Walk me through what happened.
Dirk and I flew into Odyssey to pick up samples of the counterfeit money as proof of the craftsmanship of their work. Neither one of us knew who we were meeting. All we had was a phone number. I figured that was a disposable phone. I mean, these guys are very careful. So when we landed, we called. We were told by a man to come to Dock C at Trickle Lake. I didn't realize you had more than one dock.
Well, things have changed since you and I came up here to fish. See that building at the end of the lake? That's a private club. Exclusive membership. They even have their own parking to ensure they're closest to the lake.
This is a public dock, though.
Uh-huh.
So our contact was sitting down there at the end, fishing.
Well, did you get a name?
No. It was pretty clear that we weren't to say much.
Oh, what did he look like?
He was a rough-looking man. Long hair, long beard. Thin and wiry, maybe 6 feet tall. And even though it was hot out, he wore a light overcoat and gloves.
No fingerprints.
We were told to bring a backpack, which Dirk did. When we showed up, the man went over to the boathouse. It was locked, but he had a key. He reached in and took out a backpack of his own. Dirk suggested we swap them, but the man didn't like that. He said,
"How do I know you didn't put a bug or tracking device in this thing?" "No, sir. I think we'll put our samples in your backpack."
Oh, he was Southern.
Uh-huh. So the money was wrapped in plastic, but Dirk insisted on seeing one of the bills. The man cut open one of the packs and took a bill out. Dirk looked it over, and then so did I. It was impressive. And while we were doing that, the man pulled out a gun.
"Nothing personal, you understand, gentlemen. But I'd like you to empty your pockets and put everything into the backpack with the money. Including that gun in your jacket, young man."
Dirk acted like he was offended, but I think he expected it. I didn't realize he was carrying a gun.
Oh, well, then what?
We went back to our car and drove to the airport.
What else was in the boathouse?
I got a glimpse of fishing supplies. Poles, nets, boxes.
Well, this isn't a private dock, so I assume it's not a private boathouse. Why the lock?
Well, the wood doesn't look very solid. In fact, if I were to pull this door a little too hard... Come open.
I'll have a word with the caretaker later.
Now, let's see.
Just like you said. Fishing supplies.
Except this backpack. This is the one he brought the money in.
Well?
It's empty.
Well, what about the pocket in the back?
No, it's... Wait, it feels like there's something inside.
Huh?
A disc.
Well, maybe your man enjoys listening to music while he fishes.
It has little hearts drawn all over it.
Be careful. Fingerprints.
Let's find out what's on this disc.
We'll use my computer at home.
Not so fast, gentlemen.
Who are you?
Monty, may I introduce Detective Don Paulhouse with the Odyssey Police.
Good to meet you.
Same here. And you're both under arrest.
Miss Candlelight, what are you doing to that piece of paper?
I'm sketching for my art class.
Oh.
Dr. Trask insists that we try to see the art in everyday things and then capture it.
Oh.
I have to do something while I worry about Wit.
And this sketch here, this is a limp mushroom?
Not. A pepper shaker that's been knocked over on its side. Don't you see the way the light captures the pepper as it's scattered across the marble design of the countertop?
Am I to assume that you are enjoying this class?
Enjoying it, yes. Competent to be there? No. Eugene, do you think I have issues with confidence?
Well, that depends on what you mean. You're very confident about expressing your opinion, whether it's based on fact or not, or advising others about what they should do.
Okay, forget I asked.
Why do you ask?
Well, I met someone in class who wants to set up a business with me.
Really? What kind of business?
Making replicas of famous artworks. She says I have a gift for copying.
Well, that's an intriguing premise. Now that I think about it, I assume someone makes those Renoirs hanging in my dentist's office.
Well, until yesterday, I thought a Renoir was a kind of car.
Huh?
Thank you, Buck. I'll see you later.
Bye, Miss Katrina. Mr. Eugene. Miss Connie.
Bye-bye.
Farewell.
Bye.
Later. Is he Wit's End's newest employee?
With Wit's approval. Or yours.
Well, he seems like a nice boy.
He has a lot of charm.
However?
He's a Curiosity?
You mean like he has 6 fingers on each hand?
No. He's only 14 years old, but somehow he seems older, as if he's seen a lot in life.
Well, is that good?
It depends on the life he's experienced. And as far as I can tell, he's had little formal education, yet he's incredibly bright.
Then why do you look concerned?
I told him Whit needs his guardian's signature on a permission form, and he looked worried.
Why would that worry him?
I'm not sure. He wanted to take the form to have it signed, but I decided on the spur of the moment that I'd like to meet his guardian in person. And then he went pale and said he'd see what he could do.
Well, why wouldn't he want you to meet his guardian?
I don't know.
I know that look.
What look?
The look you get over lost puppies, wayward kittens, and the occasional student.
I'm interested, that's all.
I see.
I have work to do.
Does she usually get personally involved with her students?
Well, not often, but too often enough. Now I have a dilemma.
What dilemma?
Should I be worried for Katrina or for Buck?
You're really going to arrest us? On what charge?
I don't know. Breaking and entering? That boathouse is a highly valuable structure.
Oh, you're kidding.
That's up to you. You can tell me what's going on here, or you can come with me to the station, and Agent Tanner will deal with you.
Monty?
How do I know I can trust you?
You don't. But it seems like you're running out of people you can trust.
And why do you say that?
Because you ran from the hospital, and you haven't tried to contact Agent Tanner. Why don't you trust her?
All right. After we took care of business here, we headed back to Odyssey Airport. Dirk got a call on his Appleberry. He picked up, but I got the impression he didn't know who was calling. He listened for a minute. Then after he hung up, he wouldn't say anything to me. At the airport, Dirk had a private chat with the pilot, and they changed the flight plan. Suddenly, we weren't going back to Chicago, but to Atlanta. I had to assume my cover was blown. Someone had called to tip him off.
I assume Dirk wasn't very happy about that.
Right after the plane took off, he pulled his gun on me. He was furious, and Dirk stops thinking when he's angry. I knew he'd shoot me, so I made a move for the gun. We fought, and the gun flew under a seat. We wrestled over to the door. Dirk opened it and tried to throw me out.
He is crazy.
It was chaos. The pilot was shouting at us. He said that he was going to turn around and land, and then I knocked Dirk down, and he grabbed the backpack and tried to hit me with it. Well, that's how I got dropped out of the plane. Then he scrambled for the gun and got it. I jumped at him. The gun went off and hit the dashboard. The pilot lost control of the plane and tried to land in Gower's Field. We crashed. That's it.
Tell me about Dirk's phone.
Well, he's got all of his contact info on it. A lot of incriminating evidence, I guess. It was his insurance in case everything went wrong or in case somebody tried to double-cross him. He said that if he ever went down, others would go down with him.
Smart man. All right. You persuaded me. Let's go.
You're taking me to Agent Tanner?
Not a chance. I don't trust her any more than you do.
Why not?
Are you kidding? She's got a major counterfeiting operation going on, and she has an agent who she thinks has turned, and she came here without a team of backup agents? It doesn't make sense. And there's that business of breaking world speed records to get to Odyssey from Springfield.
Well, what do you mean?
She claims she came after Dr. Graham called about that identification chip. It's impossible for her to get here as fast as she did.
Well, she said she flew in.
I checked flights. There weren't any, private or otherwise, from Springfield. She was already on her way to Odyssey, probably after she called your pal Dirk. She knew you were here, Monty.
But why would she blow my cover?
She said it herself. The chance to make a lot of money can turn an agent's head.
So, what do you suggest we do now?
Keep our heads down. And do all we can to put a stop to this green ring.
Sounds like Detective Polhouse doesn't trust Agent Tanner or Monty. Should Monty trust him? Katrina doesn't seem to trust Buck, and Dirk didn't seem like he trusted anyone. It makes me wonder how I can know who to trust. Even though we can't see the hearts of people like God can, Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew that we can know people by what they do. A bad tree can't produce good fruit, and a good tree can't produce bad fruit. So if you're ever unsure about who to trust, Just watch closely what that person does and says. If it lines up with what God teaches in the Bible, then that person may be worthy of your trust. If not, then be careful. As the Green Ring conspiracy continues to unfold, I think Whit and the gang are going to learn a lot more about trust. Today's program is a presentation of Focus on the Family. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.